The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, from verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, this is talking about Jesus, of course, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. We as human beings are placed in a category actually higher than the angels in Jesus. In the Old Testament it says that they were made little lower than the angels. But in Jesus we are actually elevated to a higher position, because the angels have never experienced, for instance, the new birth experience. They had never sinned. They had never, well, the fallen angels, one third of God's angels that fell with Lucifer, they are, and then beyond redemption, they can never be saved. And hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. It was not prepared for human beings, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, the name of Jesus. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. The angels that worship Jesus. This is in Psalms 104. Who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. They are serving spirits. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The Lord has prepared joy. He has prepared victory. And through the ministry of angels, we are led into this if we submit to the word of God and speak it and believe it with our hearts. Verse 10, And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. God is a God of change. God is a God of renewal, and he uses his angels to bring renewal to us. Hallelujah. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. God still is the same. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? God has elevated man above angels in Jesus. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister or serve those who shall be heirs of salvation? Let's look at one example in Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted up a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. An open heaven, where the heavens are open, and the angels of God can freely go up to the throne and come down from the throne. Of course, it's faster than the speed of light. They travel faster than the speed of light between the presence of God, the throne, and the presence of man. They carry the prayers into the presence of God, get the prayers granted, prayers prayed in faith, hallelujah, and the answer are brought by them as well. And the angels ascended and descending on this ladder, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. In Genesis 32, verses 1 and 2, And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Verse 2, And when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host, and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel," which means a prince of God. "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. You know, there is the Bible speaks about this conflict between the flesh and the spirit. In Romans 7, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is not more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus, the Anointed One, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And then the Bible goes on to speak, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What happened with Jacob after this wrestling match with the angel, after his wrestling match with God, was that his flesh was broken. The angel, as the Bible says, hit him on the hollow of his thigh, touched him, the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of his thigh went out of joint. Now, they say, the medical doctors say, that this is one of the strongest tendons in the body, is that tendon holding the hip bone in place. But the strongest part in this, the strongest part in Jacob, was touched or broken or removed, if you will, put out of place by the Spirit of God, so that Jacob could depend not on his own strength, but rather on the strength of the Lord. This is a spiritual principle. See, salvation is not self-improvement. Salvation is not success in life. Salvation is not how you can fulfill the lust of the flesh and use God to get what you want. No. Salvation is to die to the flesh and live to the Spirit. Salvation is to lay down your life and take up the cross, lay down your own self-life, and take up the cross, the life of God, the Zoe life of God. And He is abundant life. And when we can see that God has abundant life for us, it's so easy. It's so easy to give up our miserable lives and accept His life. But the price is the denial of the flesh. And this happened to Jacob. And it teaches us, Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." In other words, he that does not deny the cross, talking about self-denial, self-death, he doesn't do that, is not worthy of the life that I have. I have abundant life. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy," he says in John 10:10. "I am come that you may have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then we see in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Jesus, the Anointed One. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, our old life is dead. It's crucified. And the new life, the resurrection life in Jesus, is ours by faith in the Spirit, in the walk in the Spirit, in the walk with God. Hallelujah. We can have that life and walk in that life that God has prepared for us. And the angels will lead us and assist us in that walk and help us to experience that which God has prepared for us. Let's look in Psalms 103, verse 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, or that are mighty in strength, to do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. I'll start again in verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel, or that are mighty in strength, to do his commandments. The angels, all they do is carrying out the will of God. They carry out the will of the Father to do his commandments, or to see to it that his commandments are carried out, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Do you know that when we speak the word under the inspiration of the Spirit, do you know that the angels are sent forth to carry that out? We can speak as the oracles of God. We can speak that God can speak through us. And as God speaks through us, the angels are released to begin a work. They are released to do that was spoken by the inspired word of God. Of course, the inspired word, the prophetic word, would always correspond or agree with the written word of God. But the angels, they hearken to the voice of his word. They hearken when we speak. If we speak against the move of God, so many people, they don't understand. They hurt themselves. They hurt their own lives by coming against things they don't understand. Rather, I should say, than speaking against what God is doing, because they don't understand it, and it doesn't fit into the box, the little box they have that try to fit God into. They should say, I don't understand it. It still could be God. Then they'll be in the clear. But because they come against it, they hurt themselves, and the angels are bound, and God cannot bring the blessing that he wants to bring to their lives, because they are not open for that particular blessing. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Now, we are to bless the Lord, but the angels also bless God. And do you know, as we bless God, the angels bless God with us? Do you know, as we obey the Spirit, we are released the angels of God? As we praise God, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people, Psalms 22. And his presence comes when we praise him. Angels begin to praise him as we praise him. And as the praise is going forth in the Spirit, demons flee. They hate the praises of God. They hate it when you praise God. They love it when you murmur and when you complain and when you're angry and upset in the flesh. That's what they feed off of. That's what they need in order to do their wicked works and bring problems into the lives of believers. Rather, the angels that bring solutions and blessings as we praise the Lord, as we praise his holy name. Blessed are all his works in all places of his dominion. And as we bless the Lord, we release his dominion in the earth. We release his power because the angels are released. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Praise and worship and praise, adoring the Lord and loving God and blessing him, releases the angels. Luke 1, verses 19 and 26. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. This was the angel of God that appeared unto the father of John the Baptist, And if I go ahead, and I want to read a little earlier, it says, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Of course, this is the spirit of Elijah or Elias that the Bible talks about in Malachi as well. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? See, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he doubted the word of God. For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He thought that because he was too old and his wife was too old, that God couldn't do what he promised to do. He doubted God. That's an insult to God. The worst insult to God is when we doubt his word, when we doubt his power and ability. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. In other words, I come from the presence of God with this good news, and here you're doubting what I have to say. Now, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. If we believe not the word of God, we bring problems. We bring curse upon ourselves. This was so important, what God wanted to do, this promise about John the Baptist, that he could not allow this Zechariah to speak, because he would jeopardize with his mouth, he would jeopardize and maybe speak against the plan of God. He's speaking to the angel doubt. What would he speak to people around him? Well, God shut his mouth up, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Thou shalt be dumb. In other words, you're not going to be able to speak in a doubt and unbelief until these things happen. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and it perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, where he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. See, the activity of angels, before John the Baptist could come, the angels were ministering, the ministering spirits were released. Gabriel himself came to Zechariah and to reveal these things to him. Zechariah doubted, therefore the angel spoke this word that Zechariah would not be able to speak until these things were fulfilled. This, because this is, was a very, very important plan in the salvation plan that God had for all mankind. If we go to Luke chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 13. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. God revealed himself to the shepherds. They were open for this. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now, the angel is bringing good tidings, glad, good news unto the shepherds. The angels were involved before Jesus was born. When the angel came to Mary and spoke to her, what's going to happen to her? Be it unto me according to thy word. How she humbled herself and received that word. The book of Luke, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art the highly favored, or graciously accepted, or much graced. That's what Mary was. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, always when angels appear, sometimes they would appear to us and we will not be prepared. Fear will hit us, because this, the carriers of the anointing, the carriers of the presence of God, of course, if we are in the Spirit already, we will not be afraid, as if they come and they appear to us and we are in a carnal mindset.